Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. Congratulations on not taking your own life. Planet Earth is pretty hard, but we chose to come here and we chose our parents, even if our parents, they provide a lot of emotional stress. We chose that. Okay. We chose it. I'm happier here. Guys, if you're in the New York City area and you're trying to record a podcast, but you're like, I guess I'll do it at my house. No, no. You know what you're going to do? You're going to email Michael Coscarelli MikeCoscarelli@gmail.com.
No,
is that okay
no,
that
no.
I'm giving
that's,
that away?
It's not the right email.
Okay,
address.
That's not what you're going to do. What, Mike,
it's
hit
Mike.
Him.
It's Michael A. Coscarelli at gmail.com.
Michael A. Coscarelli at gmail.com. Look how hot I look. I'm going to clip this for you, Mike, so you can use it as an ad on your thing.
Oh, that'd be great.
But look how great. Look at these cheekbones. I mean, yes, it was God's doing and it was Sephora's doing, but it was also the lighting at this beautiful Slickback Studios. This place is amazing. And Mike is
what an endorsement.
It's really
that might be the best endorsement I've gotten of this place so far. I appreciate it, Christina.
If
you
make someone look hot,
yeah,
they'll do whatever they need to do to keep looking hot.
That's
you
what
know?
They say, yeah.
A
motto I live by.
Yeah, truly. Truly. And then it's up to us to sound great, you know?
Yeah.
Email Michael A. Coscarelli at gmail.com. And the rates are really good. The rates are really good. You're probably not going to get a better rate. And it's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. What? It's by the trains. It's by the hipsters. It's by Trader Joe's.
By the water.
Oh my God. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful area. So make sure you do that. I watched John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. I love that show so much because it's investigative journalism. And they shine a light, they pull back the curtain on things that we use every day or systems or people that we're like, is that fucked up? And then he extensively goes into why it is fucked up. And he did a piece on the food delivery apps. And I was like, ah, crap.
Oh, boy.
He's going to make me delete them, huh? And I did. And look, 100%, do what you want. In New York City, we rely on these apps because we're too busy. We don't have to rely on the apps, but we do because it's very convenient. And these tech companies, man, they're suffocating industries on purpose is what I'm figuring out slowly. Like with the Uber and the Lyft app, they gave away rides for so cheap that New Yorkers were like, oh my God, I'm going to use Uber and Lyft all the time. We become reliant on the Uber and Lyft app because it's very cheap and very convenient. Two things that Americans love. And then the taxi cab industry gets completely choked. And guess who's the better drivers? Taxi drivers. Taxi drivers, oh boy, they'll get you to point A and point B very quickly. If you're in a rush, they're like, I got you, boo. And it's cheap as hell. It's cheap as hell. So the food delivery apps, they were just talking about, they want to get you hooked and addicted to the convenience of the service. And then they do all the fees. And then when they had to start paying delivery workers, because if you are in New York, you know, and especially if you drive here, there are so many dudes on mopeds here. Now that I think about it, where are the female delivery workers? I've never seen one.
I've had a few.
Uber
but not,
Eats.
It's not often.
Sometimes Uber Eats, a chick will roll up in a Honda. I'm like, hey. But mostly the mopeds, never seen a chick on one
I
with
think
food delivery.
Outside the city, it's probably more common.
I hope so.
I think people outside the city will pick it up more. It's not as... In New York, a lot of people use it to feed their families.
Right.
And I think outside of the city, a lot of people will like DoorDash and all that stuff as like a side hustle or Uber or whatever, because everybody's got a car.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's as dire straits for people in the, you know, other places.
Right. But in New York, we've just relied so heavily on it. And the guys that you see in New York City on the scooters that with the backpacks, first of all, he went into how they have to buy their own motorbike, which that makes sense because they're freelance, which, that's a fun little way to not pay people or give them health insurance, huh? Mm-hmm. And there was a legislation passed that mandated that these food delivery workers get paid a minimum salary, like or minimum wage rather. They're certainly not salary. And so to balance off that cost, Uber Eats and DoorDash and all these delivery apps added all these convenience fees. But then what they did, I guess to not inconvenience the customer, is the tipping option has completely changed on DoorDash. So if you do still use DoorDash, just remember, like, you got to tip your Dasher after the food delivery. It doesn't act like on Uber, after you have a ride, you can't get order another Uber unless you can tip the driver. You have to tip your last driver first, which I like that because you always forget, right? And so with the DoorDash app, they made it so that it's very hard to remember to tip your driver, which is so fucked up. So if you are still using these apps, please remember to tip your driver. This is their fucking livelihood. But man, yeah, I deleted the app. I deleted my DoorDash app. And then, wouldn't you know, 3 days later, reinstalled it because I needed Sweetgreen and I couldn't go. So, shit. But I tipped the guy. It was raining. Tipped that motherfucker $10. Okay? Tip him $10. Got to fight capitalism, baby. And we got to rebrand. We have to work hard to rebrand together this whole fight capitalism notion, because it's not just like some chick with hairy armpits screaming at you in a parking lot of a Costco and then violently shoving a flyer under your wiper blade as you drive away. It is capitalism. It blows. It blows. I know. It's a really rare stance to take, and I'm pretty brave for saying it out loud. Yeah, fight capitalism. One way that I'm noticing people fighting capitalism, it's a tiny way, but you know what? Tiny steps, brick by brick, an entire brick mansion, one brick is laid at a time. So keep that in mind, motherfucker. There's this trend on Instagram now that I really appreciate, where all these clickbaity articles like the New York Times or Huffington Post, they'll show you a graphic or a headline and they'll say like top three things men look for most in a woman that will change the way you interact, or whatever the fuck. And they want you to click the link in their bio so you go to their website, so you get inundated with all these advertisements so that they get money. But what I love is that these Instagram users are like, fuck that shit. And they're just saying, hey, number one is this, number two is this, number three is this, in the comment section. And I'm like, look at these little warriors. Look at these little anti-capitalism warriors. It's fucking great. I love that. Thank you for your service, people who do that on Instagram. It's very valuable. Man, Mercury, it's in retrograde. It's in retrograde. I planned a sexy 2-day getaway with my boyfriend. And also excited. I packed all these sexy outfits. I got a Brazilian wax. I waited a couple weeks so that I could get it, so that I was just bare pussed for that weekend. And wouldn't you know, we got there. It was a beautiful Airbnb in the woods. Kevin was there. We brought our yoga mats. I brought a farting aliens coloring book that Corinne gave me for my birthday. There's so many activities that I wanted to bring that I did bring. And then we got there. We went out, had a lovely dinner at this local restaurant. And then we came home. And then right as I was dozing off to sleep, I was like, uh-oh. And then I ran to the bathroom and I violently puked.
Oh, no.
Violently. And when I tell you, I had to get up and go to the bathroom every 15 minutes for 7 hours. That is not an exaggeration. Okay. And in the middle of that 7 hours, at the 3.5 hour mark, the shitting came. So I was puking, puke, 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 puking. And then I was like, uh-oh, there's a rumble down there. And then so I had to get my butthole over the toilet seat fast enough so that I could pee out my butthole. And then I had to puke again. So I grabbed the trash can. Poor Airbnb guys. Thank you. Thank you for, I'm sorry. And I was puking and shitting. And it was a time. And then I was like, okay, well, that didn't go as I planned. And I was sad for a second. I felt bad for myself for a second. Of course, as you do, we're human. We've got an ego. It's there. And so then we came back. My stomach was a little wobbly, but we've been getting better. Finally getting like a good night's sleep. And then, yeah, was it yesterday? 2 days ago. 2 days ago. I went to do a podcast. I woke up kind of on the wrong side of the bed. I think I was PMSing. And I was like, damn it. And whenever I PMS, if I don't feed into the monster, it doesn't get bigger. But I felt myself feeding into the monster, and I was trying to implement all those tips from RJ Spina, baby. You know, it's the ego. Who is upset? I'm upset. Who am I? I don't know. And I was doing that. Not while I was puking and shitting, but 2 days ago when I was kind of having like a moody day, and I did my friend's podcast, Casey Aurora. Shout out. The podcast is called You Both Suck. It's a great podcast. Love doing it. In Williamsburg, I parked in this area that was like truck loading from like 10 to 6. And so I was like, because it was pouring rain, like torrential downpour in New York for 2 days straight. And I was like, you know what? If I get the ticket, I get the ticket. But it's pouring rain, probably not going to get the ticket. Usually when it's raining, I'll get a ticket. And I did the podcast maybe for 50 minutes, came back. Car's gone. The car was gone.
What? Really?
The car was gone. And I was like, and my first instinct was someone stole my car. And I was, because I was having a bad day already. I was like, and I called Colin and I was like, the car is gone. And he's like, calm down. And I was like, God, help me, calm down. But I needed to calm down. So he was correct. And then I just hung up on him. I was like, I got to call 311 to make sure that it wasn't stolen before I call. I guess you call 911 when your car's stolen. It's not an, it's an emergency, but I don't. I help the bleeding guy first.
I think you can still call 911 though,
and just say like, "I need to file a report, police report."
I think what they do is 911. I think dispatch decides how urgent the call is and where it goes.
Okay, so, like, all right.
If they have to, if you're in a fucking car accident and you're bleeding out of your eyes,
right? They're gonna go.
They get an ambulance right away.
Yeah.
If your car is stolen, they go like, "All right, give me a second. Let me get it over."
Because it's not immediate. Right. And I'm like, I got a smart car, bitch. Whoever stole this is an idiot. Right. We're gonna find it. But I had a lot of stuff in the car. Colin had his guitars and amps in the car, and I was like, oh god. And so I called 311. I entered the license plate and they said, your car is in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And I go, okay, I was gone for 50 minutes.
Oh, okay. So towed?
Okay. I was so upset because I was like, why did you tow it? Why didn't you give me a ticket? I wasn't parked in front of a garage.
Right.
It wasn't a movie set. It was just a zone. And I was like, if I get a ticket, I fully take responsibility for that. And I'm very diligent about tickets in New York City because there's speeding cameras. And sometimes you get a ticket you don't even know. And God forbid your license gets suspended. You get caught driving with a suspended license. You get arrested. In Pennsylvania, you get fucking arrested. My friend did. And so I always check to see if I have tickets. I pay them immediately. I'm not on top of a lot of stuff in my life. I'm on top of that. So I took an Uber to the Navy Yard. Pouring rain. I get there. What a place. It's a place, NYPD. It's where they tow all your cars. And when you get a boot on your car, been seeing a lot of boots on cars lately. That sucks. You get a boot on your car. You want to take it off. You go to the NYPD. You go there. You get your car towed and it gets towed to the Navy Yard. You go there. It is not a happy place, this place. And I was like, Christina, because I know me too well. And I was like, you're not in a good mood. You have to be kind to these people. You have to, because God forbid if you're unkind or like rude or short in any way, and then they give you an attitude, game over. And so I got in the line and I said, my car got towed. Here's my license. Here's my registration or not registration. And they said, okay, that'll be $185, but your car just got here. Because again, I was gone for 50 minutes, okay? And she's like, we need a few more minutes to process the car. Then I'll get your payment, get your license. You'll be on your way. I'm like, okay. I had so many things to do that day. And I could not afford, a conk in the system. It needed to all go smoothly. And that's always, of course, when it doesn't go smoothly, right? And so I'm sitting there waiting. She said 5 minutes. It was 20. But who was counting? I did set my timer to see how long it actually took. 20. Technically 21 minutes and 17 seconds. Got up to pay the lady. She goes, can I see your license? She ran my license. She goes, your license has been suspended. And I was like,
oh,
wait, what? And I go, what? Why? She goes, I don't know. Okay, bitch. You don't know. So I go, who can I call? Well, you got to reach out to.
Were you this calm?
Yeah, I was. But let me tell you, I wasn't mean, which I have been known to be in situations like this. I wasn't mean. I was bawling my eyes out.
Were you?
Yeah. So that calmed me, kind of. I went outside while I was waiting. She's like 5-10 minutes. I went outside to cry and smoke so many cigarettes. just crying in the pouring rain.
Yeah.
I was going to stand like under, like, There's a little awning that you could stand in so you wouldn't get wet. I was just going to stand right in the middle of the courtyard so I could get soaked so I could feel worse for myself, but I chose not to. That was a really good choice. That was a really positive choice. I'm really proud of myself. Really, you know. And yeah, when I got back and she said my license is suspended, I was like, what? I asked why. She didn't know. I said, who do I call? She goes, I don't know. I go, you don't know who I call? NYPD? To get the So I've been driving with a suspended license. I guess they don't arrest you in New York, but like they could if they wanted to. And so I called Colin and I was like, you got to come pick me up because I can't drive because my license is suspended. He's like, okay, give me the address. Gave him the address. And then I went outside to smoke more cigarettes and cried so much more. Oh boy, the tears. And then I was on the DMV's website because they have like a My DMV login and I forgot my password and they had to ask me 3 security questions, which childhood pet's name, which childhood friend's name. And then one question that I fucking picked was, what childhood poster did you have on the wall? And I go, why the fuck would I pick that question? I don't fucking know. Justin Timberlake, Tom Cruise, all these. And I was entering and I go, okay, I'm not going to get this. I'm just going to reset my password. I went to reset the password on my phone, which is like not when you're on a phone trying to do like, you know, anything remotely complicated. It's just, and I typed the words wrong. So I had to redo my password. It took me 20 minutes to get the passwords to match because I was so emotional and I couldn't fucking type. And I got so mad every time they said the passwords didn't match. And I was like, this is hell. And then I finally got in. Logged in. I just needed to pay a fine. I paid a reversal suspension fee. I was like, okay, I'll click that and pay it. It was like $300, which is, that's fun. And then they're like, okay, you can drive now. I'm like, what the fuck? You didn't send me a letter to my address that I know you have because I just got my voter registration shit sent to me. I know that through the DMV, you motherfuckers. And yeah, I just paid the fee. I went back up to the lady. I said, hey, I paid the fee so I can drive it now. She didn't even check. She didn't even run the license to check.
Of course she didn't check.
She just said, okay, here, give me your debit card. And then I drove off. But I was like, go fuck yourself. Just fuck off. I had to write with my writing partner that day. And I was like, I can't. We need to write another day. And she's like, it's okay. It's fine. And I was like, thank you for understanding. So yeah, Mercury's been in retrograde, motherfuckers. And if there were tests that I was given by the universe, failed them. Did not pass. I wasn't rude to anybody. I will say, what a shit job having to work at the place where your car gets towed to. Everybody's pissed. Everybody's stressed. There was one couple there with, they kept arguing with their kid on the phone. They were actually pretty cool. And I was like, okay, I need an example of somebody being calm in this establishment so that I can understand. Christina, you too can be calm as hell. But then all these people, like there's this one guy, he spoke English, but then I guess some of his documents were in Spanish. And then no one at the establishment spoke Spanish. And the woman behind the counter, because I heard her because I was in the waiting room, was so rude to him as if speaking Spanish in New York City is some rare fucking thing. I'm sorry, LaGuardia Airport? Fuck off.
LaGuardia is Italian.
Really?
Yeah.
What those?
Well, Fiorello J. LaGuardia is the mayor of
New York. Wow. Yeah. Fiorello. Yeah, that's Italian as hell.
Yes.
Shit. Okay. Well, never mind. Well,
but
all the delivery
well
men
taken.
Speak Spanish.
Yes.
Spanish is the second language of New York City.
Yes.
LaGuardia, not Spanish. But hey, we learned something new today. That's fun. Hey, I'm wrong a lot. I'm wrong a lot, and that's okay. I'm used to being embarrassed. But the woman was so rude to this man. And I was like, lady, and he was very clearly like strapped for cash. And then this other guy from another, I don't know what country he was from, but he was from somewhere else. And he was like, he was so lovely. He was so lovely going up to the window of the people. And he was confused. He asked a very like question that made a lot of sense. He was, I paid a ticket at a meter to park at this spot and they towed my car. But like, how is that? Like, I paid like $27 to park at this place. And then they towed me, like, where does that $27 go to? Because I still got towed. And the woman gave him such an attitude. And I was like, yo, I was trying, like, I was looking for another reason to get mad. So I was like, fuck this bitch. But then I was thinking, those poor people that work there, probably they, you get the worst of humanity because you're not at your best when your car gets towed. You're not at your best when you get a boot on your car. If you have children and multiple jobs and you can't afford that and you're living paycheck to paycheck, like an $85 fee to get the boot off, it was actually $185. That's a lot of fucking money. And then you got to figure like, I felt for both sides. I felt for the people working there because that is not an easy job. But boy, did I feel harder for the people that had to go there. And I just wanted so badly to ask the lady, why'd you tow it? Why didn't you give me a ticket? And I didn't because it's not her fault. It's not personal.
But they never told you? You never got an answer on why you got towed and why you didn't just get a ticket?
I didn't ask because I knew if I didn't like the answer, shit, it wasn't gonna be good.
That's
it wasn't
so
gonna be good.
Fascinating.
My anger was a caged lion, and if I asked them that, and she gave me even an iota of a nasty attitude, the lion would come out. The lion would come out, and then what happened? I finally paid the fee. She didn't run my license again, so I'm like, well, I could have fucking just made that up, bitch. Okay, cool. And then the other man who asked the question about, well, I paid all this money to park and then you still towed it. Where's that money going? We had to both, you get escorted by NYPD officer. You have to go in a cop car to go to your towed vehicle. And we get in, we went together and the man, super lovely. He was asking the lady cop, hey, you know, he was asking her the same question. Cause it's like, well, you work for NYPD parking. Like you would know, right? Or you would know somebody who would know. And he was asking, he goes, hey, like you guys gave me like I got towed and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, no, sir. I'm like, oh man. She said it in a ma'am attitude, with tone. And she was like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, dude. And this guy, God bless him, very patient. He didn't get more angry because this woman was being so fucking rude to him. Granted, she probably gets a lot of rudeness thrown at her. I have seen so many, mostly men, which is surprising. Because I don't know why, like a woman, I feel like a woman's rage is deeper than a man's. But like just truly scream at NYPD parking people, like while they're giving them a ticket. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. And then I stayed there because I'm like, someone's going to punch someone and I'm going to stick around for it. But that had yet to happen. Oh, that's nice.
It doesn't get picked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Get this all the time.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Cool. That's great. I don't have headphones on, so I can't tell.
I realized that we didn't put headphones on your head. But yeah.
You can see my hot head now.
We did this last week where I went. It was worse last week.
Oh, okay. I'm probably hearing it louder because I don't have my headphones.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, I tuned up our board. I'm an audio engineering mastermind.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, another reason to hire Mikey and Slickback Studios, Michael A. Coscarelli at gmail.com.
Yeah.
There is a new Ariana Grande song that I am fucking obsessed with. I've listened. When I love a song, I'll choke it to death. I will listen to it on repeat all day and all night for weeks at a time, a lot of times. And there's a song, I first heard this song when Ariana was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live with host Sydney Sweeney.
Mm.
Let's just take a moment to close our eyes and just thank her and thank God for making her. And her second song on the show was called Imperfect for You. It is the most mesmerizing, beautiful song. It's sexy. You feel like very girly when you listen to it. There's a key. So if you know anything about music, there's a key change in the chorus. And it is, I've never heard a key change in a chorus before. I'm sure it exists, but I've never heard it in a pop song or any song. And it's the most mesmerizing song I have ever heard. It's so good. It puts me in such a good mood. And I've been listening to it on repeat. So Imperfect for You by Ariana Grande is a great song if you're looking for a new song to listen to. Ariana Grande, I'm like, I don't really give a shit about her. I know a lot about her because she dated a comedian. And so I know a lot about her. And I again, I'm not a perfect person. Sorry to break your heart if you thought I was. But I would judge the shit out of Ariana Grande for basically looking like a baby prostitute. Like, she was very infantilized. And it, like, for some reason, my dumbass brain was like, she's infantilizing herself and that's disgusting. No, bitch, the music industry is doing it to her. Okay. I'm sure, yes, she could wear what she wanted to. But like, I always thought that about her. I'm like, she looks like a baby, but a slut at the same time. It's very weird and makes me kind of uncomfortable. But I love her voice. My God, one of the best voices in the game. And then I got really humbled and told myself to shut the fuck up about my opinion on Ariana Grande because I watched the docuseries Quiet on Set. Mm. Yo, I watched every episode in one night. I was like, I couldn't put it down. It will ruin all your favorite Nickelodeon shows, but that's okay. That's okay. Ignorance is not always bliss, my friends. There's this guy, this main producer that they talk about in the documentary, two of them, like one of them, a violent pedophile, a violent, disgusting, awful, awful man. I don't even want to call him a man. But this guy, I believe his name was Dan.
Dan Snyder is one of the guys.
He wrote on All That or co-created All That. Yeah. And then he went on to create, he created iCarly, huge hit. Drake and Josh, or mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Amanda Show.
Yeah. The Amanda Show. Okay. I need you guys to understand what society does to people. We've all seen Britney Spears' Instagram, right? That ain't her fault. It's just not her fault. We did this to her. The music industry absolutely did this to her. And our society, the amount of improvement that our society has made in a very short amount of time, it's beautiful. It gives me hope. I love it. The interviews, when you watch Britney Spears documentaries, you see, was it Diane Sawyer interviewed her and asked her the most disgusting fucking questions. And I like to think that Diane Sawyer now has been, she probably regrets it. No way she would ask those questions today. There's no way. But basically asking Britney Spears questions about like, well, why do you make so many people uncomfortable because you're too hot and too sexual? And she's like fucking 20 years old. And she's like, I'm sorry. That's your problem. Like, I don't like, fuck you, you know? And then her mental downfall that we all can see on Instagram, which feels weird. Feels weird. I mean, she should absolutely be allowed to have her own Instagram, but it feels, it feels weird. It feels like you're fly on the wall to something that you shouldn't be looking at. But Amanda Bynes is another one of those examples. Amanda Bynes, has face tattoos, has a nose ring, has very 1990s eyebrows, and is mentally ill, very clearly mentally ill. Dude, this motherfucking piece of shit producer on Nickelodeon, this Dan motherfucker, I would take so much pleasure in watching him suffer. I really would. He seemed to be there was rumors that I don't know that the rumors were discussed in this docuseries, but I was talking about the docuseries to a bunch of people. They're like, oh yeah, there was rumors for a long time that he got Amanda Bynes pregnant when she was 13. The way that they were comfortable with each other was disgusting. It was disgusting to watch. It was gross. And then the way that she was sexualized, and there's so many, I was glued to Nickelodeon shows as a child. All That was so, Lori Beth Dimber coming in for Viral Information for Your Everyday Life. I will never forget laughing at those shows. Those were beautiful shows. But then you look at all these moments that they point out in this docuseries that were oddly sexual. And I always thought like, oh, that's weird and edgy and cool. But no, it was this old man producer who wanted to create an uncomfortable environment where he like had all these jokes go over kids' heads about sexual innuendos. I'm like, adults don't watch the show. So who is that joke for? Oh, it's for you, you fucking cunt. Okay? You're a fucking piece of shit, Dan. And one of the things that freaked me out. Honestly, I was surprised that they aired this because if you're a hebephile pedophile, that's porn, basically. They had I forget what the show Ariana Grande was first on. But she was like what, fucking 13, 12 or 13? They did an internet like kind of how they do like behind the scenes content for a show on the internet now. They did that back then. And I think it was the early 2000s. And there's footage of Ariana Grande at like 12 or 13 years old in a bed, in a tank top, pouring water on herself. Like she's a fucking Sports Illustrated model. And I I was like, oh, okay. 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 That's okay. So my opinion. And then I fucking regurgitated this nasty ass opinion of her as she rose to stardom as a fucking superstar pop star. And I felt really dumb. Not, you know, it's, I forgive myself, but it is interesting how we can have all these opinions on somebody. And then we later realize that that opinion was being fed by this disgusting, awful system that was going unchecked for so long. And so I highly recommend watching this docuseries. It is something else. It's something else. How much time? Ooh, 29 minutes. Oh my God. Well, there's so many things I want to talk about that
the world's your oyster.
Yeah. Oh, the oyster. Thank you. Melissa Villasenor started following me on Instagram. And I'm so nervous. I'm such a big fan of hers. I fucking love her so much. When women that I admire and respect that are like famous women, like pop, you know, cultural people in the zeitgeist follow me, I get so nervous that I'm like, I got to remind myself of like, just be cool, Christina. Just like whatever you're going to post, just post. Just don't think about how that person's going to see it. You know, I love Melissa Villasenor. I will say before I get to the reading, I do have a fantasy of traveling back in time to like the 1600s, okay? I think about this a lot. When I'm having a bad day, I just melt into this fantasy where I'm in the 1600s where life is, you know, whatever it was like in the 1600s. I don't know, I wasn't there. But I still have all the knowledge that I have from 2024. And then I just start singing all the best pop songs, like Michael Jackson songs, you know? And then everybody around me thinks I'm just some fucking genius. Because they're like, we've never heard a melody like that. We don't even know what those words that you're singing means. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. God spent a little more time on me, I guess. And then I would turn into a cult leader, but my cult would be for good. And then I would teach people to love themselves, which is such a foreign concept in the 1600s, I'm sure. And I would be a hero. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. I know. That's what I fantasize about. That's what I fantasize about. Guys, you know what time it is? It's time for some fuckboy theater. So you tell me when it's over, Mikey. When you rent Mikey's studio, he'll give you headphones. I just forgot to do.
Can you hear it?
No.
Okay. I'd say this is a good time to go in.
Okay, cool. So fuckboy theater. Guys, if you have a screenshot of your atrocious dating app conversations, text message conversations, or DMs with somebody that you deem a fuckboy, DM them to me on Instagram. It's at Christina Hutch, KrystyNa. Because I'll turn your sadness into joy by doing a theatrical interpretation of your message. So this message is from a piece of shit named Gary. Maybe he's a good person, and maybe he just had a moment when he sent this message. If I had to bet my fortune on it, by fortune I mean all my debt, I would say not great. Not great. Okay. So this is just a DM that he sent to this lovely lady. Oh, and please know before I read it, he spells, like, you know, when you say, oh, I knew that, or I know that, K-N-O-W. Every time you see that, like, know or knowing with the K-N-O-W, don't worry, he spelled it N-O. Okay? Okay? Oh, I gotta get in a character. This is a really juicy one. Dang, Caitlin, you are sexy. I really want to tell you some things, but I don't want you to get mad. But I think you got a little freak in you. I know I taste sweet. To dose, it make you wet, knowing you make my dick hard, knowing I think about kissing your thighs, teasing you, getting your pussy wet, licking you until you're begging to fuck, kissing you so you know how sweet you taste. And scene. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Gary. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary, for giving us a piece of theater. Thank you. Fuckboy theater, man. You know, sometimes when I'm running out of fuckboy screenshots, and I know they exist, so DM them to me. But every once in a while, I'll get down on men. Like, just in my mind. I'm not going to be like, fuck men out loud. I mean, I will sometimes, but it's not one of those things. Like, when I get really down with men, I keep it to myself. And that's how you know I'm real sad. But there are so many people that are opposite of fuckboys, and I just want to shout them out. I want to shout three of them out because I think we got to balance the good with the bad, right? I have a friend who is very smart. He plays, my boyfriend plays in an incredible band called the Olive Tree Madmen. They have They have the Olive Tree Madmen have a podcast out called Sounds from the Cellar. It's really good. Highly recommend checking it out. That they do, but they play every Monday nights right above the Comedy Cellar at the Olive Tree Cafe. And so I know Coleman Hughes is the opposite of a fuckboy to me. He's a lovely person. I love him so much. I've gotten to know him really well. And he's one of those guys. I love this. When I meet people like this, I get so excited because I'm like, give me some of that. How did you have more brain energy than me? He has so many talents and skills. He's a very accomplished musician. He has a podcast that's really popular. He's been on Rogan a shitload of times. He's incredible. He's argued in Congress before. And he wrote a book on race politics. And he was on The View recently. And Colin and I watched the interview. He got grilled by, there's a bunch of women on The View. One of them is Whoopi Goldberg, who I fucking love. Basically, Coleman makes an argument for colorblindness, but not in the way that we just don't see race because that's not possible. He was just saying, like, if we focus on, one of the points that he made was if we focus on socioeconomic levels, let's tackle it there instead of like, let's just help people based off their color. Let's look at everybody who doesn't make enough money and help them. So that's the gist of his argument. And regardless of what you think, I'm a white person. I'm not going to add my opinion to that because it's not welcome and nor should it be. But he would probably disagree, but don't worry. I'm not going to give my opinion on that. I love what he says. He's so thought out and he's a great example of debate. Like, classic debate rules. That motherfucker is so calm and I know him well and he cares so much about the issues that he talks about. And so it's beautiful, but he was on The View and he was getting grilled by Whoopi Goldberg and he just handled it so beautifully. And then there's this other woman on the show. Her name is Sunny. I don't know what her last name is, but Sunny was, she was already pissed at him. You could tell. I mean, game recognized game. I know what that's like. And she came at him and she was like, kind of like, you know, very, very strong in her opinion. And she was like, your premise is fundamentally flawed, all these things. And the way that he argued back was so calm, so calm. He's so good at taking his emotions out of shit, which is like 101 for debate. And it's just beautiful. If you look at Coleman Hughes, The View, and look at the clip, it is a great example. Like if I were him in that situation and I was getting like, people like these women who are like very established on this very well-established show were like coming at me, I just sit there and fucking cry, or I get really mad and say something nasty. And the way that he kept his calm was just, it was so beautiful. And it was very inspiring. So he is the opposite of a fuckboy. Another person that's the opposite of a fuckboy is Rami Youssef. Holy shit. I love him. I have loved him for so long. He's a brilliant stand-up comedian. And I got to see him before he got his show because I've known him for a while. And I'm like, dude, that guy is special. He's very special. And I would want him to be president. He is so calm, but also so caring at the same time. Very similar to Coleman. I love that quality in a person, but I especially love that quality in a man. And he's just beautiful. And his SNL monologue this past weekend was so beautiful. And the way that he talks about Palestine and Israel, he understands the anger coming from both sides. And he was just very diplomatic with everything that he said. And he's so loving. And he has the ability to melt a hateful person's heart. And I don't see that quality in a lot of people. And I see it in him. He's gorgeous. And he was in Poor Things, a big role in Poor Things. He was so good. And he's just lovely in every way. And then the third man, that is the absolute opposite of a fuckboy is Drake Bell. Drake Bell was featured on that Quiet on Set documentary. And he was so violently sexually assaulted by this one producer who did not get a lot of jail time, which is very infuriating. And I hope that this man is living a miserable life. I hope he's living an absolutely miserable life based off of the pain that he inflicted on other people. It's crazy. But Drake Bell, it's not easy for a man to talk about sexual assault from jump. But it's also not easy to talk about being sexually assaulted in general. But then when it happened when you were a kid, he was a teenager, he was maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. And it was so, like, that might have been his first sexual experience, was being violently assaulted by. So, and the way that he gave an interview to this documentary, lended his story, the restraint that he had, the grace that he had, and the vulnerability that he had, willing to go into one of the darkest times in his life. He said he's never talked publicly about it. He's only talked about it in therapy. But that man is incredible, Drake Bell. And so he just, these three boys deserve their flowers. So I know we do a lot of fuckboy, and that's hilarious. And I love making fun, make fun until the day I die. But
can I just ask on the Drake Bell front?
Yeah.
Are you aware of the...
Yeah, he sent text messages to a minor.
Got it.
He talked about it. Was that what you were going to say? Yeah, he talked about it. Not at length, but he did talk. He addressed it, and he was like, that was fucked up, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't imagine, just because you were molested as a kid doesn't mean you molest kids, right? That's something I hope, hopefully, as a society, we all know. But my whole stance on pedophilia, I'm going to run face first into those uncomfortable topics like pedophilia, because my God, does it happen a lot. And if we don't talk about it, then it's going to continue to happen a lot. So, I'm very glad he addressed that. I totally forgot that happened until he brought it up. And I was like, oh, right. So that was another cool thing where it's like, you know, people who do bad things, people aren't bad or good. And as much as I hate that man who raped Drake, he is not bad or good. People are not bad or good, in the larger context of things. So I really appreciate when somebody does something like shitty, really, really, really shitty. And then they come out and they're like, that was awful. And I really regret that. And I would do it differently had I had a chance, you know, because I think everybody can be redeemed. But you can't be redeemed if you just double down on how much of a piece of shit you are. You know what I mean? You know, just fucking food for thought. Ooh, 41 minutes. Okay, I don't know. All right, you know what? I'm gonna read the chat. I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna save it for next time. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna read it on my Patreon. I'm gonna read it on my Patreon because I want to get into another book, and I'm gonna continue to read Supercharged Self-Healing on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. You could sign up. You can get a lot of things on my Patreon. One of them is book recommendations. Every month, I come out with 5 books that I recommend, and why I like them and what they're about. I do once a week, I do a Zoom called Group Sherapy, where you can just come in and talk about whatever's on your mind. I do it. I use it as a space to get stuff off my chest. And it's a really beautiful, it makes you feel better about humanity after you get off these Zooms. It really does. Because it's like, wow, people just got to talk stuff out and get it out of their system. And then there's no weight. And then they could carry on with their day and not be so consumed by stuff that haunts us, because we are a haunted people, let me tell you. And another thing you can get is me reading excerpts from Supercharged Self-Healing by RJ Spina, who is a man who completely healed himself from chest down paralysis. Is there anything else I wanted to say before we end? Being embarrassed is tough. Yes, being embarrassed is tough. That's a tough one. I will, I'm embarrassed a lot. And I remember, I was trying to think, I'm like, when was the first time I remember being embarrassed? And it was when I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old and I was waiting for my friend. I think her name was Amanda. I was waiting for her mom to drop her off so we can play. And I was just so hyper. I was so fucking hyper as a kid. So I was riding my bike up and down my neighborhood to kind of exhaust myself because I didn't know what to do with the energy. And then I was down my street and I saw Amanda's mom pull up in the driveway and I got so excited. And I was just on my bike with the streamers, the pink glittery streamers, and my basket with my stuffed ET doll. And I was like, Amanda! And I drove full force into her mother's car and I scratched and dented it real bad. And she was pissed at me. My mom was pissed at me. And I had to sit in that for a moment and I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I wanted to crawl. That was the first time I ever remember wanting to crawl in a hole and die. I was so excited to hang out with my friend. And then the whole hangout with my friend was kind of fucked up. because the tone got fucked up because I fucked up her mom's car. And it was very embarrassing. And I finally gotten over that. I wrote down this. I've had so many embarrassing moments. Oh, God. One time I was in CVS and I was looking for something. Actually, it was the one near here. And a girl came up to me, a woman came up to me in the aisle, and she was like, "Are you Christina Hutchinson?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I assumed she listened to the guys who fucked. And she was so sweet. And she was talking to me about why she loved the show, and I loved it. And I was like, "That's so cool." And then sometimes I'll get this feedback where people like DM me later, like, "I wanted to ask for a photo, but I was too nervous." And I was like, "Don't be nervous. I don't care. Unless I look like absolute ass, which you'll be able to see, you know, always ask." And so I was like, "Oh, do you want to get a photo?" And she was like, "No." And I was like, "Yeah, me either. Fucking see you later." And then I just walked out and I didn't buy all the stuff I was going to buy because I was so embarrassed. I was like, "I'll never ask if anybody wants a photo again." That was terrible. What was the most embarrassing thing you've ever done, Michael?
Oh, I feel like I might have talked about this on Guys We Fucked once, but yeah. When I tried out for my high school baseball team, I thought I should have made it. I had a really good tryout, et cetera, but I was like a new kid in school still. So I went to where they posted the list when the tryouts were over, and mm-hmm. it was at the English teacher's, he was the coach. It was like in front of his classroom. And I went over to, it was just a list hanging on the wall. And I went over there and it's Jersey. There's a ton of Italian kids or whatever. So a lot of like Ellie and, you know, stuff like that in the last names. So I see a name and it says Mike Ciccarelli.
Oh, like, oh, they misspelled my last
name. So I'm looking at him, smiling, big smile. I'm like, fucking A. Yeah, like I'm in. I knew I killed it at the tryout.
Oh.
And then the guy comes out and like as arrogant as can be, I was like, "Coach, looks like you spelled my name wrong on this list."
Oh, no.
And he goes, "Actually, that's Mike Ciccarelli." And he was like, "Maybe
damn,
next year."
Damn, son.
That, to this day, that's one of the most embarrassing moments of my, because I was so confident.
You know, when you're so cocky and you're like, "Excuse me, but you have the wrong guy." And like, "No, we don't."
I was getting ready. I was like, "I can't wait to show my dad I made this team and everything." No. And instantly the air just out of the balloon.
Oh, no.
Awful. Awful. To this day, it sends a chill down my spine when I think about
that's
it.
That's terrible.
Oh, God.
It reminds me, I do a joke on stage and I'm like, "Have you ever yelled at a guy for catcalling and then you realize he wasn't talking to you? Not even close. Not even, he was talking to the much hotter chick behind you." And you're like, "Well, goddamn, little humble pie for Christina today, huh? Okay. guys, congratulations on not killing yourself, and record your podcast at Slickback Studios. You're going to look so hot.
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you. Talk to you next week.